Hello once again, and welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's pizza time here on this Food Friday. This is serious, serious business. Now, it could be as simple as bread, sauce, and cheese, or you could spice it up with gourmet toppings and fire it up in a special oven. Are you a fan of New York style or Chicago style? Do you like extra cheese or anchovies, thick crust or thin? So many things to talk about. When it comes to pizza, you have a lot of options, and we have expert pizza makers in the studio today. Paul Massiero is co-owner of Baba Louie's Pizza in Pittsfield, Great Barrington, and Hudson, where gourmet wood-fired pizza is the name of the game. He's a graduate of the Culinary Institute of America and the Greenbrier Culinary Apprenticeship Program and has cooked all over the U.S. He's a Berkshire native and sources all of his fresh produce locally. Rocco DeFazio opened up DeFazio's wood-fired pizzeria in Troy in 1989, and he has won numerous best of awards from around the capital region for unique pizza offerings and artisanal crusts. Rocco is an expert in Italian foods, and his menu proves it. His parents opened Troy mainstay DeFazio Imports in 1951. He's a Siena College grad and former science teacher, and it's the science of the pizza making that we'll talk about here today. Gentlemen, nice to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
The number to call is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also get in touch with us via the Vox Pop section of our website, wamc.org/voxpop. You can comment below today's Facebook post, the Vox Pop post on our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can tweet us if you wish at WAMC Vox Pop or email voxpop@wamc.org. But we'd love to hear from you via the telephone, 1-800-348-2551. All right. Paul and Rocco, let's get this out of the way right now. First of all, I want to describe it for you. If you're not watching online at WAMC.org, there are five pizza boxes here, so I can barely contain myself. But I have to ask the serious question. Thick crust or thin crust? We'll start with Paul.
I like mine thin.
Me too.
Thin Me crust. Three. All right, so we're all in agreement here.
Yeah. But yeah. I didn't grow up in Chicago.
Okay, so the Chicago style is really the deep dish, thick pizza?
Yes.
Yeah.
And why do they call it Sicilian style sometimes? You get the extra doughy. Is that really how it comes from Sicily?
I've never been to Sicily. I really wouldn't know, but it probably is, because really pizza was originally just bread with sauce on it.
Right.
Yeah.
So the more bread you had to slop up the, you know,
The sauce.
The sauce was, so I would say that's probably, and, you know, southern Italy, a lot of tomatoes.
So when my wife cooks sauce, and I take a piece of Italian bread and just dip it in the sauce, then I've got original, prototypical pizza.
That's what the original pizza was.
Who knew?
Yeah.
And I get yelled at for doing that, yeah. So, you know.
Keep doing it.
All right, so.
And I know, and up north, when I've been up in northern Italy, I mean, it's super thin. It's
right.
Wafer thin.
Right.
And
right.
So, you know, you guys have been in the game for a while. And have tastes changed as far as, I mean, in the old days, we go to our town pizza joint, you get a pepperoni pizza, it's kind of a thin crust. I assume that's still the most popular one today, but the game has changed.
Oh, yeah. I think so.
Oh, yeah. Today, you need variety. That's, you know, variety's spice of life. And
when did that start, this whole variety business?
God.
With the internet, the explosion of the internet.
Yeah.
You know? And people being able to see what people are doing all around the world.
Yeah.
And like I was saying earlier, we do six different varieties of pizza crust, flavored pizza crust.
So the dough,
just
DeFazio's,
is flavored, because that's what people are looking for. You know, they're looking for more stimulation with their food, with their palate, and they want to experience all this other stuff.
But on a Friday night, it's still pepperoni pizza, right?
Predominantly.
What's the most popular over there, Paul?
Oh, I don't know. We do a lot of barbecue chicken pizzas. We do a lot of Dolce Vita pizzas. I brought one for you, Ray.
Oh, really?
You're going to have one of those today.
Well,
yeah. It's got spinach and gorgonzola cheese and fresh prosciutto. It's fresh mozzarella.
I don't even know.
It's a really good pizza.
I don't even know if I can talk. All right, but, let's go to the phones. Alice in Loudonville. Alice, you're on.
Hi, I'd like to make a thin crust pizza, and I wondered how to change my pizza dough recipe. Do I use bread flour or regular flour for thin crust, or less yeast, or what do I do?
For the pizza crust, a good bread flour, King Arthur has some really good stuff you can buy. They have a great website also, and they have a school that you can get a lot of information on. The yeast really cut down on your yeast a little bit, and it's basically the way you spread it out. You know, use a rolling pin. If we wanted
knock some of the air out of it.
Yeah, knock the air out of it. Don't let it, you know, sit and rise too long. Pop it in the oven real quick while it's nice and thin.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Good luck, Alice.
Yeah. The heat of that will kill the yeast from rising.
Okay.
The pizza crust too much once you introduce the heat into the oven.
Now, you know, I've seen people very close to me who use a bread machine to make the dough. Is that okay, or would you guys look down on such a thing? I hope you're not listening.
Absolutely not.
I hope you're not listening, honey.
I wouldn't look down on that.
No. I know a few of my friends use it also.
It works out very well. The dough is very nice.
The dough's very good.
Yeah, and you have to mix it somehow.
Exactly. 1-800-348-2551. Paul Massiero is here from Baba Louie's Pizza in Pittsfield and Great Barrington and Hudson. Also, Rocco DeFazio of DeFazio's Wood-Fired Pizzeria in Troy. We talk pizzas today on the show. 1-800-348-2551. Our producer, Jessica Blaustein. Marshall is here, and you're going to unveil some of these pizzas for us?
Sure.
All right, what do we got here? This is from Baba Louie's. Oh, boy. All right, what's this one, Paul? This is pretty incredible.
That's the Pomodoro Bianco. It has fresh tomatoes, roasted portobello mushrooms, roasted garlic, red onions, chev cheese, and then it's topped with and fresh mozzarella, and then it's topped with a little pesto.
Okay.
Wow.
This is not the when you think stereotypical pizza, this is a little more advanced.
This is
a 401
yeah,
level.
but we do the, you know, the stereotypical too. I mean,
look at that crust. Now this
nothing better than pepperoni on a pizza.
Look at that crust. That's amazing. So
it's a sourdough pizza crust.
Okay. And so, you know, Rocco was talking about some of the different crusts and sort of the different tastes that are coming into being now. This crust is a sourdough crust. And how does it differ from your average? Oh my gosh!
Well, you're gonna taste it right now. Tell me.
All right. So let's.
It's gonna have a little more. It's gonna have a little more chewiness to it, and it's gonna have a little more, like a sour flavor to it, like a sourdough bread would.
Oh boy. Oh.
Paul. Oh, I've had enough of those.
Zach, I can't even talk right now. All right, let's go to the phones. Dave in Schenectady. Dave, you're on.
Hi. I was just wondering if you could. Tell me something about making a whole grain or whole wheat crust and how to mix it and what percentage should be whole grain and so on so that it would taste fairly good and maybe even have some high fiber content.
Okay. Anybody? Or should I answer this one?
Okay. Again, King Arthur has some very good whole wheat. I think they even do an organic whole wheat. And the grains, don't use a 9-grain. We make an organic multi-grain pizza in Troy, and we use the 6-grain. And what we like to do is moisten them a little bit, put them in a little water, let them come alive a little bit, and then add it to your flour. But 6 grains is more than enough. Don't go with a 9-grain.
How can you tell the difference?
6-grain, 9-grain?
Yeah, I mean, when you're tasting it, you say, oh, this has got 7 grains. I mean, how
it's
do you...
Just, it's just too many.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all
it's
right.
Just, it overpowers the... But again, King Arthur's very good. We use our flour comes out of Canada, a small mill called Milanese, but I don't think you could get that on the retail level. But I know King Arthur does some very good whole wheat stuff.
But your percentage is going to be very... is going to be low. It's not going to be like a 50-50 blend.
No, oh no.
You know, you're talking like 10% whole wheat to regular flour.
Yeah.
I think that's the question that he's trying to convey to us.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's it. That's
is,
the
is that what you're trying to
right
trying
there.
To get out? And then the more water you add to a pizza crust, the easier it is also going to be to digest. So
oh really?
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. Anytime you add water to anything,
it's how much water is in this?
And that's 70% water.
This sourdough. By the way, this is amazing.
Well, thank you very much.
Really amazing. In fact, let's take another call. Hey, thanks a lot, Dave. We appreciate it. I'm going to have some more of this. Gene in Albany. Gene, you're up.
Hi. My question has to do with the purity of the cheese product. I love eating pizza.
Yeah.
Especially pizza parlors. But, you know, sometimes you don't know what you're eating these days. Like with the Subway revelation, they're going to stop using some rubberized ingredient in their bread. Are the cheeses used in pizza parlors, is it pure cheese, or is there some other unnatural ingredient in them now sometimes, you know?
Good question.
That's my question.
Well, I can tell you from my experience, we use a fresh mozzarella that's made for us in Connecticut, and it's shipped up to us every week, and we hand slice it and before we put it on our pizzas. When you go to a typical pizza joint.
A chain pizza joint,
and you get a lot of that, and you just get a cheese pizza, and it has a lot of like grease on top.
Yeah. Mm.
Those are fillers that they put in the cheese that are going to come out. Would you agree, Rocco?
Oh, yeah. The big chains are going to be adding everything they can to that to their mix. We use a couple of different types of fresh mozzarella also, and we get our regular mozzarella from local distributors who we know their quality is.
So the cheese really matters.
Oh, it's huge. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we're going to take a break here. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. Paul Massiero is here from Baba Louie's Pizza. Rocco DeFazio of DeFazio's in Troy. Yeah, we're gonna have some more pizza in a moment. Hang in there.
Support for WAMC comes from Terrapin Restaurant, Rhinebeck, serving local organic food sourced from Hudson Valley Farms whenever possible, terrapinrestaurant.com. Orange County Tourism in the scenic Hudson Valley, featuring spring gardens, wineries, boat cruises, country inns, and a full schedule of upcoming events, orangecountytourism.org. Rare Earth Wine Bar on the Circle, Glens Falls, New York, specializing in pairing food and wines from around the world, Rare Earth Wine Bar on Facebook. And Sundog Cider at Solaqua, locally produced hard cider from New York Hudson Valley apples. Unfiltered, naturally gluten-free, handcrafted at a revitalized solar-powered mill in Chatham, New York. SundogCider.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC, 1-800-348-2551 is the number. The lines are loaded. If you hear somebody hang up, that's your cue to call. And it's a Food Friday, and I don't know what I did to deserve such a bevy of riches. But Paul Massiero is here from Baba Louie's Pizza. Rocco DeFazio is here from DeFazio's Pizzeria in Troy, New York. And we tried Paul's pizza. And what was this that I've already finished? This slice?
Oh, that was the... Pomodoro Bianco.
With the Shep cheese on
Shep
it?
Shep cheese.
Oh, very nice. All right, let's try one from Rocco here at DeFazio's, and it looks amazing. What do we got here, Rocco?
We start off with a spicy red pepper crust.
Okay, so the crust itself has spicy red pepper in it.
In it, and it's a half and half. It's half four cheese with gorgonzola, fontanella, mozzarella, and Romano.
Yeah.
And the other half is very, very different. I'd be surprised if you find this anywhere. It's a General Tso pizza.
Oh,
so you get a little bit of your Chinese and Italian.
Now tell us the funny story.
I should
about
call it the Marco Polo.
There you go. Tell us the funny story you were telling us off mic about the kid who ordered it cold. That's hilarious.
We had this one RPI student. The first time he ordered it, he said to us, now, can you put that pizza in your refrigerator? And we thought he was goofing on us. And we said, no, you want it hot, don't you? You want it? He said, no. He says, I grew up loving cold Chinese food, you know. So we would have to put it in the refrigerator. When he would come in, he'd open up the box, touch it, and say, oh, yeah, that's cold enough.
No, that's great. Number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Before we do that, let's try this. I've never heard of anything like this.
Remember, it's a little spicy, the crust. Creeps up on you.
Wow. Wow. And it does creep up a little bit.
You feel the heat?
Oh, my God, that's amazing. I mean, it does taste like General Tso's. All right, that's a new one on me. Let's go to Yolanda in Liberty. Yolanda, you're up.
Yes, I wanted to clarify a little bit about the Sicilian pizza.
Sure.
I grew up eating Napolitan pizza because I was born in Naples.
Okay.
But and I came across a family which I was married into, and they made the Sicilian pizza. And it is that deep crust, very deep, and there's roasted breadcrumbs with anchovies and a little bit of cheese and slices of onion. Hardly any sort of tomato sauce. So it doesn't really resemble our Neapolitan pizza. And that's the Sicilian pizza.
That sounds good.
They call it Singioni. That's what they call it.
Why don't you write that down, boys?
Yeah, I think we're going to take that recipe.
I like that. Hey, Yolanda, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Bye. 1-800-348-2551. We talk pizza today, a subject very close to my heart and my aorta specifically. Craig in Saratoga. Craig, you're up.
Oh, well, thanks a lot. Yes, I appreciate it there, Paul and Rocco. Listening to you is very inspiring for someone such as myself. My first pizza I ever had was in 1956 at White Beach Speedway. It used to be a place called Point Drive-In there. Nobody knew what a pizza was even then. And so it was delicious pizza. I noticed you speak out about King Arthur flour, which is generally an organic, natural flour. I like that flour as well. I wish every pizzeria in the world would use flours like that. However, when you get to be 71 years old, you have a restricted diet, very restricted. In fact, I just went for a health checkup, and they told me to stop eating many, many things.
No, boy.
You once called up said azetocarbamide, which is in Subway and here and there and everywhere now, which is a junky thing. Sodium benzoate, and when you're over 70, sodium is a negative.
Okay.
I'm going to try to get to your pizzas because you sound like you're clear stuff and right on the nose.
Well, you can't have any of mine, I'll tell you that.
Oh, I thought I'm talking to Rocco.
These are spoken for.
We try to.
Oh, your guys, yeah, what you're eating now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, but I'm a pizza person from way back for the 76 years and so on. I get pizza, even places where nobody's even heard of pizza. So I do like it.
Okay.
But I'm concerned about nowadays, as I was just saying, what goes into the various doughs and whatnot. Is there any way you can just go into a pizzeria and say, listen, what's in your dough? Or what do you think about this?
Okay.
I think you can go into any place and they should be able to tell you exactly what's in their pizza crusts.
And if they don't tell you, I would immediately walk out.
You know, and I would stay away from, you know, I would stay away from the chains and visit the small guys like Rocco and myself and...
Keep it local.
Yeah, keep it local, and those are the people that are going to care about what you're putting in your body, and you know they're not going to be adding all.
I mean,
that
I had a heart rate. My blood pressure is over 200.
Oh boy!
Told me, watch out, buddy. Yeah. I worry about food now.
All right, Craig. Thanks a lot for the call. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Paul Massiero's here from Baba Louie's Pizza, and Rocco DeFazio, and we just tried the Chinese pizza, which is. Outrageous. It's really good. So you have your chicken, you have your broccoli.
General Tso's sauce.
And you have the pepper crust.
And that really ignites all the flavors.
You see the sweat on my head? Ordinarily at this time, it's flop sweat. But no, this is actually from the peppers. All right, let's go to Don in Great Barrington. Don, you're up.
Hi, Ray.
You got to turn your radio down just a little bit there, Don.
Oh, I thought I had it all the way up. Sorry. Passover's coming up. You guys know Passover? And we eat no pizza crust, stuff like that. But what's to keep us from making pizza crust from matzah meal, matzah flour?
I don't think there would be anything keeping it. I've never tried it, never heard of it, but hey, I don't know why it wouldn't work.
And again,
put yourselves on the map and make it some.
Maybe we should look
into
that.
Another great idea. You know what?
That's just what I have to tell my boys. We're going to make another pizza crust.
Happy Passover, happy Easter to everybody.
Hey, you too, also.
Thanks a lot for the call.
Thank you.
We have one from email here from Jason who says, I'm envious of the embarrassment of culinary riches you have in the studio. That is not understating it. Love hearing about the science of pizza. And you guys really, I mean, what have you picked up from... when you started, and obviously you must have loved the idea of pizza to begin with, to start in this business, what tricks have you learned that were not readily available or readily evident when you started?
Mm,
And you talk about that while I finish this pizza pie.
I don't know about tricks. One thing that I've learned is the closer you can buy it to home, the better off you are. You know, that's been kind of our philosophy, is get it sourced locally, and it's going to make a better pizza.
Yeah, that's what it is. And you need to use very, very good ingredients. You never skimp on them. That's the key. High-quality ingredients. There's Stanislaus tomatoes, for an example.
Exactly. There's none better.
There's nothing better.
There's nothing better.
There's nothing.
You guys agree?
Yeah, right. Stanislaus.
Absolutely.
They're the only company in this country that grows and
packs
their own tomatoes.
Yep.
And if you don't use, you know, they're a few dollars more.
But they're worth it.
They're fresh as, they're wonderful. And now they have their oil, Corto.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Really?
I haven't tried that yet. It's worth it.
It's the only thing we use now.
Really?
It's better than the stuff coming in from Italy.
Really?
Corto oil. They planted 1 million olive trees, this family, the Cortopassi family in Stanislaus County, California.
Wow.
They're wonderful.
So, yeah, they're great people.
You know, in your experience, you know, Rocco, you have this amazing pizza that I've never heard of before. In your experience, and I'll ask you first, Rocco, and then Paul, have you tried one that just didn't work? You said, I got this great idea for a pizza, and then you make it, and you said, oh, God, what was I thinking?
I think we have, over the 30 years we've been in the pizza business, I think I nothing comes to my mind right now.
Really?
But I can't think of, I mean, I usually put a lot, I'm sure Paul does the same thing, usually put a lot of thought into before you.
Throw it on the menu.
Throw it on the or start tasting it. You know,
who's your taster?
Oh, my family, my kids. Yeah. I have 5 children, and let me tell you, they'll be quick to tell me it ain't good or if it's bad or whatever. They're very, very tough.
I may bring my 5 kids over and have them be testers for you too. I think they'd be pretty good at it. What about you, Paul?
I haven't put anything on a pizza I haven't liked.
Really?
Yeah, I can't say. I mean,
what's the craziest one you did?
We do one with sweet potatoes and parsnips and drizzled with reduced balsamic and fennel. And
really? I don't know. Did you bring that?
No, I was going to bring that. Well, but I'm telling you, it sounds
a little sketchy.
We used to make this side dish at this restaurant when I was, you know, cooking for another guy. And it was we would roast these vegetables in the these root vegetables, and then we would hit them with this reduced balsamic vinegar, and the sweetness would hit with the vinegar of that. And it was
I could see that working. Yeah.
And so then I just adopted that and put it on a pizza, and it works. People love it.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Jamie in New Milford, Connecticut. Or Janie, I'm sorry. Hi, Janie, you're up.
Hi there, Ray and Rocco and Paul. This is a great show. I'm ready to jump in the car and head up to
Come on
Jackson.
Out there.
You got a lot of pizza here, Jamie.
Yeah.
Won't be here. By the time you get here, it'll be gone. Just saying.
I have a couple of tech questions for Paul.
Sure.
Dietary issues going on here. They have the best. I mean, Baba Louie's is genius, and we love it. But
well, thank you.
I've got dairy sensitivities, and they do. You do a non-dairy
cheese, yes.
Pizza, non-mozzarella with soy cheese. That is the best. Most of that soy cheese stuff tastes just like cardboard. It's awful.
Yeah.
So how do you work with that to make it seem like real dairy cheese?
Well, that's the question. Are you going to share a trade secret?
Well, it's competition sitting right across from him. I don't know.
No, I'm happy to. It's called Daiya.
Daiya. I've seen that at actually, the health food stores.
Yeah, you can buy that at Guido's.
Yep.
Because you're probably familiar with
Guido's.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, boy, are we familiar with Guido's.
Yep.
Are they your kin?
They are my brothers, yeah.
Okay.
My ugly brothers.
I thought so.
Yeah.
Hats off to all you mess heroes.
Well,
and the
thank
other
you.
Question is, are you when you're doing the sauce, the red sauce for the pizzas, is that, and the San Marzano tomatoes, is that puree or does it have the seeds in it?
No, we use a mix of puree and then we get like some strips that has I wouldn't say a lot of seeds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's mostly seeded.
Okay, but the faux mozzarella.
Yeah, it's actually a tapioca based instead of soy based.
Oh, I'll be darned.
Huh.
Tastes pretty good.
Yeah, it's hard for me to tell the difference.
As opposed to the cardboard soy version.
Well, thanks so much, you guys.
Thanks, Janie.
Thanks
we appreciate it. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. 1-800-348-2551. Let me ask you a question about how long you cook a pizza. There are many pizza joints that I've been to in my life where they undercook the pizza. The two pizzas we've had today have been perfect. You can basically hold them in your hand, the slice, and they stay together. Why is it? Is it just rushing to get the order out that these pieces are not fully done?
I think that's part of it, and I think it's the amount of toppings that they put on the pizza.
Well, you have a ton of toppings on these pizzas, and they're perfectly done.
You got the right amount of toppings on this pizza, you know.
And the other thing, what they're doing too. See, these are both cooked on wood-fired ovens.
Okay. Absolutely.
Which as
now, why would that make a difference? I see that all the time.
That makes a huge difference because number one, as soon as you place your dough on the stone in the oven, it starts to bake. And it starts to harden. Right, Paul?
Absolutely.
Most of the other pizzerias, 90% of them, are putting it in a pan.
In a metal oven.
On a metal tray, and they put oil on the tray.
Yeah.
And soaking in that, because, and it's going to flop every time because it's oil, it's in a metal pan, it's taking longer to cook, it comes out, it's like, mush.
So it takes longer to cook, and it comes out like mush. See, that's counterintuitive to me. It feels like they put it in, they took it out too early, and it comes out like mush.
No, it's the oil he's absolutely right.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
So some of the pizza joints I remember as a kid, maybe not so much anymore, there would be cornmeal or something on the bottom.
Right.
And that would help with that?
Big time.
Yeah.
All right, so this is great. I'm learning so much. Let's go to Sally in Athol, Mass. You're up, Sally.
Hi. Well, I've recently discovered that I'm allergic to dairy, and I have a heart condition, so I avoid oil. I've only had one piece of commercial pizza since I've had to change my diet, and that's from a place in downtown Amherst. They have something they serve called a veggie no-no, no cheese, no meat. So do you have something similar?
We do it.
The dye
Babalu's we do. I don't
loaded
know.
Loaded with oil.
The dye is loaded with oil. We are, you know, we're in the customer service business, so we always say that the customer's right. So if you came in and you wanted, we'll do whatever you want. I'm happy to serve you any kind of pizza that you're interested in having. You know, so if you wanted to come in and have no cheese, just sauce, we even make them with just the crust, bake the crust. There's people who come in and get
you still call it pizza?
They do.
All right.
And we're the same way.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, my favorite pizza is without cheese on it.
Is it?
I like a little extra sauce because this is how I grew up with my grandmother making pizzas for me.
Oh, no kidding.
Extra, because she would can her own tomatoes. And our family was always about the sauce, never about the cheese.
Really?
And it was always about the crust. So it was a lot of sauce and then sautéed spinach, calamati olives, some capers, some anchovies, maybe some red onion, and you pop it in the oven, you bake it. When it comes out, you sprinkle just a little bit of pecorino on it, and that's my favorite. When people ask me, what's your favorite pizza? That's without mozzarella cheese on
it. There you go.
Sally,
thank
you
very much.
And then when you eat it, you really taste
all the ingredients.
Because the other time, the mozzarella cheese is just masking the flavor.
Yeah.
Right?
But a good cheese.
No, you can't beat a good cheese, like our four cheese. But if you really want to taste your toppings and you want it nice and light.
You know, I'm just finishing pepperina.
Do you make that one at the store, though?
If you ask for it, I'll make it. Just ask for the Rocco special.
So nobody wants it but you.
I'm the only one.
I see. So I just finished the crust from the General Tso's chicken. Yeah, I'm sweating. And again, it's not flop sweat. It's the red pepper. But the best part about it is it's a thick piece of crust. It's very light.
It's very light.
So what have your skills improved in the 25 years you've been in Troy? Because that's good work.
Oh yeah, to start with, our original pizza crust was my grandmother's bread dough recipe.
Yeah.
She used to make her own Italian bread. And that's why we got the wood-fired oven, because in Italy, everybody had a wood-fired oven.
right.
Now it's the in thing, you know? But in Italy, everybody has a wood-fired oven in their house. You know, their homes are 300 years old, and they have the oven in there. They have no gas.
Yeah.
They have gas. So when we started, I used my grandmother's bread dough recipe, and that's how it all started.
Is that the trickiest part in making a good pie, Paul?
To me, yeah, definitely.
The crust is the trickiest?
The crust is key. And then, yeah. I mean,
and then the weather affects it, right, Paul?
What are you talking about?
The humidity.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And elevation. Yeah. So you're pretty close to a sea level in Troy.
Yep.
Great Barrington's a couple hundred feet, right? A few hundred feet up?
Yeah.
So obviously your pizza cooks in a longer amount of time, right?
I don't know about that. It gets into the oven, the oven takes control of it.
Yeah, it all depends on what temperature you're cooking it at. Obviously, it's gonna make a big difference. But
suddenly, this has become the science forum.
The pizza crust itself is that's your base, so that has to be good.
Yeah,
you know, and then what you put on top of it is the next most important thing.
So far, so good, boys. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. 1-800-348-2551. We'll take a short break, and we'll get back to all the calls on Vox Pop in a moment.
Support for WMC comes from Pangea, North Bennington, Vermont. Catering Southern Vermont weddings and corporate events with menus designed for special occasions. VermontFineDining.com and Facebook. Carrie Haddad Gallery, Hudson, New York, presenting In the Black, featuring a selection of black paintings, drawings, encaustics, and sculpture now through Sunday. Open daily, 11 to 5, CarrieHaddadGallery.com. Lori Stillwell, CPA, PC, providing tax and accounting services for businesses and their owners in Saratoga Springs and beyond. StillwellCPA.com. And Schenectady Green Market, a community marketplace providing fresh local produce and artisan goods downtown every Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. inside Proctor's, SchenectadyGreenMarket.org.
Vox Pop on WAMC, a Food Friday filled with pizza. Paul Masiero is here from Baba Louie's Pizza and Rocco DeFazio of DeFazio's Wood-Fired Pizzeria. And we were talking during the break about the science of it all. And I made a quip about, you know, it being the science form. But there really is a tremendous amount of science and art in making a good pizza.
Yeah, we were just laughing about how technical it can get.
Yeah, between water temperature and air temperature and humidity in the air and... You have to take all these factors into consideration, where you're storing your dough prior to putting it in. Its temperature is everything. It affects it.
It is. It's amazing. We were just saying how scientific it can get.
Well, I mean, you said that you use sourdough-based crust, and Rocco, you use yeast-based crust. So when you make this sourdough, you said something which caught me off guard. It's a living thing.
It is a living thing. You take a little bit of that sourdough, and it gets, you know, people pass it down from generation to generation to generation.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So it's...
Old sourdough?
Old sourdough. And you take a little bit of it and you refresh it in some flour and water again. And then that
You're kidding me.
This creates your crust. And then you take... So then the next day, you're making your crust. You take a little bit of that sourdough out and you put it aside to make tomorrow's sourdough or the next day's sourdough.
That's
so
amazing.
It goes on and on and on.
And then, Rocco, the yeast base, it's also, the yeast is alive as well.
Oh, yeah. The yeast, it's stimulated by the sugar and water and sugar, and you have to make sure you got the right amounts and the water temperature better be at the right temperature or it's going to blow up and, I mean, rise too fast.
Yeah.
Get too sticky. And
Rocco, what did you say? Anybody can be a good cook, but not everybody can
be a good baker.
My chefs laugh at me because I don't have a lot of patience. I'm Italian.
Okay. All right. Well, you've been very good so far. There's only 17 minutes to go, so I feel pretty lucky.
You know, whenever I bake, they're always like, be patient, be patient. You got to be patient when
you're baking. Be patient
baking. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. A lot of work.
Let's go back to the phones. Jerry in Clifton Park. Jerry, you're up. Hello.
Hi, everyone. Good to talk to you. So, wondering a little bit more, maybe on the history of pizza. Is there someone credited with discovering it or inventing it? I mean, obviously the ingredients have been around separately thousands of years. When were they first combined?
It was your family, right, Rocco?
Well, but in Naples in 1892, a fellow named Michael Esposito came up with the first cheese pizza. Up until that time, pizza, whatever they called it back then, was basically just bread and you would put something on it and eat it. And that's where, and so the queen of
Queen Margarita
was coming through his neighborhood, and he said, "I'm going to make something different for the queen. I'm going to put some fresh mozzarella on it." First time it was ever done. Amazing. Yeah. Until 1892.
It seems like it must have been done much earlier than that, combining cheese and vegetables on some unleavened bread.
But he got the credit.
But he got the credit, and he got the he got all the credit, and.
My kids came up with peanut butter and pickles pizza.
That now you know I'm trying to eat here, okay? But that brings up a good one. How about chocolate? How about chocolate and peanut butter on a pizza?
Well, Nutella.
We've done Nutella.
You've done Nutella?
We've done Nutella on a dessert pizza.
Dessert pizza, yeah. Nutella.
So I would assume that would be a fairly thin crust on that, like a cracker.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Jamie in Ellenville. Jamie, you're up.
Hey, how you doing? If you want the best margarita pizza, that's Grimaldi's in Brooklyn, under the bridge.
Yeah, I see some nods here. Yeah.
You can eat the whole thing yourself. You can't stop.
Yeah, we get a lot of people talking about Grimaldi's when they come up.
It's like one of the things that was good, but it's not Grimaldi's. But the grandma pizza was always in a square, rectangle pan, and it wasn't thick like Sicilian pie, but it wasn't as thin as a Neapolitan that you get in a pizza parlor. Yeah, I grew up in Brooklyn, too, Yeah, it was always that way. And they put a lot of oil in the bottom of the pan, too, so it almost, like, fried when it was baking in the oven. It's delicious. And it's true. Like, nobody makes that pie for anyone with that sourdough bread that you make the big round Italian loaves with, the same type of bread. The other thing is pizza. It's a word that's used much too broadly today.
Okay.
Your grandmother would never understand that, right? And when you cook at home, I find, like, if you don't put bricks in your oven, if you don't put something in the oven to hold the heat, you'll never get the pizza the way you want to. What do you think about that?
Well, you should not just put bricks in your own oven. I mean, this strikes me as some sort of a code violation, doesn't it?
No. You can do it, right? It's all right.
All right, man. Hey, listen, our legal department says I can't condone this kind of thing. Do what you got
to
do, though, man.
You get the heat bricks. They're the ones that are made to be heated up. But
okay.
If you put a line in that and you put the pizza on that, it holds the temperature. Because you can never get your oven as hot as you're doing in the business. You know, what are your temperatures, at 800 degrees?
Right. No, you're exactly right. I do a cooking class on pizza, and when people say, how can I make what you do here, I say, buy the pizza stones, put it in your oven, keep it there for about a half an hour at 500 degrees, it gets nice and hot, then make your, and that's, you're right, you're exactly right. And you can get these at, you know, a lot of good restaurant stores.
Pizza stones you can buy almost anywhere.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And they are good.
They are 100% good.
Jamie, thanks a lot for the call. 1-800-348-2551. Rick in Glenford. Hi, Rick, you're on.
Yes, hey, great show. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
The thing with the toppings, and I can always appreciate a great cheese pizza, but if you're going non-dairy vegan, you know, I heard the previous caller talk about, and you brought up Daiya. I'd say like in the 90s, at La Parmigiana, in the original one in Rhinebeck, you know, it was called a carciofi, but they had tahini, just beautiful, you know, liquidy, great tahini on the pizza, and I thought it was fantastic. And I just, and I mention it to like a little restaurant here or there about using that and stuff like that, and it doesn't seem to really catch on. And what's your thoughts? Do you use tahini at all, or comments, please?
Okay.
Thanks.
Rocco?
I do not use tahini.
All right, we'll write that down. Maybe for the next time. How about you, Paul?
We've used it, but not on pizzas. Just, you know.
Tough to work with?
Not really. I mean, it's just.
I'm still there.
Yeah, you're there.
It just seems more organic than maybe. I haven't tried the diet, and I'm going to definitely try it and see how that works. But I just thought it would be more like a organic substance than tapioca, but maybe not.
Okay. Well, Rick, thanks a lot for the call. 1-800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop. It's a Food Friday. The pizza's amazing. Paul Massiero and Rocco DeFazio are here. Bill in Albany, you're also here. Go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. There's the science of pizza. There's the art form of pizza. But how do you eat a pizza? Now, I'm asking this because
never with a fork.
And Donald Trump met in New York City about a year ago.
Yeah.
And they met at a pizzeria, and Donald Trump was eating his pizza with a knife and fork. John Stewart from the Daily Comedy Show went ballistic, saying, "That's not how you eat a pizza. You're using your hands. What's the matter with you?"
I think Rocco's with you.
I love John Stewart, and he hit it right on the nosy. You never eat it with a knife and fork.
Okay. What if it's a real messy, sloppy, horrible pizza?
Yeah, you just suck it up and you just put it out. The knife and fork. Come
on. That's professional advice, Bill. You'd have to pay for this.
So how are you guys eating in the studio?
No knives and forks here.
Allowed.
I was using a pen earlier, but Rocco got a little upset. So. Bill, thanks a lot for the call. 1-800-348-2551. Mary in Pittsfield. Hi, Mary.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
This week there was an article in the New York Times in the food section, was the cover story, and it was about making pizza at home.
Yeah.
And they talked about using an Italian flour, a double O flour.
Double O, okay.
And they said to use half all-purpose flour and half double O flour. And, I've been looking for that flour. I haven't found it. And I was just wondering about sifting the flour, if that would make it light.
All right, so I see head shaking and eyebrows raised here. What do you think?
Double O?
I've never even heard of it. No,
double O is we've used it. We didn't care for it, but double O is the real strict Neapolitan. You know, where you get your degree and then they certify as being a real Neapolitan pizzeria.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah,
that's like the newest craze.
That's the new craze now. They have you pay for it to be pizza. And but double zeros from Italy.
You have to use that flour.
You got to use that flour.
Sounds like a racket.
It is.
I didn't realize. I've never heard of it before. So.
Yeah, double zeros from Italy.
But
I've got one more question for you.
Sure, Mary.
It had a recipe in there for white pizza, and it used cream, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Anybody?
Was the cream for the topping? Like.
Yeah. Yeah, it was for the topping. And
did
I just
they
wanted
thicken
you
it?
To talk about white pizza for a minute.
Okay, that's good. Let's talk about white pizza.
Sure. I mean, the white pizzas we just don't put sauce on them, but we put mozzarella. I never use the cream. I just never use the cream. I'm sure that they must have thickened it some way. I don't think they just poured cream on it.
They had some cheese with it, too.
Cheese. Okay.
Okay. Well, I guess we got to get these guys to read this article.
It's more like a bechamel sauce that they're using.
Yeah, I was going to think of
a bechamel that they thickened and then they
flavored
put cheese
a little
into
bit.
It and then they pour that on there. We just, at the restaurant, we just use straight cheese with no sauce.
Right.
Just mozzarella?
Just fresh mozzarella, yeah.
Some garlic, some little oil, more oil.
Yeah, any toppings you want to put on after that. Still a white pizza.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, Mary, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go to Ryan in Pittsfield. Hiya, Ryan, you're up.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, great.
I'm definitely going to be a fork and knife kind of guy sometimes, just not to push anybody's buttons.
All right.
But,
Rocco's laughing at you, just saying, right?
That's okay.
All right.
I'm sure he knows how to do it better than I do anyway.
Okay.
Just a really good tip, I guess, is for a sourdough crust, which I've been doing since I stumbled upon it a little while ago, is it's almost a 1-to-1 ratio. So Bonnie yogurt and self-rising flour, which I guess could be King Arthur, and maybe savor the yogurt just a little bit, and it ends up being a pretty good crust. I don't know if anybody there has ever heard of that.
What do you think, Paul?
I'm sure it would work. The self-rising crust kind of takes the sourdough out of it, though, because it must have some type of yeast in there. There's yeast in the air, so that's kind of how where the sour comes from. But the self-rising dough must have something in it that helps it rise.
Yeah.
How long
do you let it sit out in the air for when you
make your sour? Probably about 45 minutes to an hour and a half, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, see. No, this is... To make a true sour, you have to leave it out for a couple days.
Quite a while?
Yeah, a couple days.
All right. A couple of days. Okay, so mix it and then leave it out in the fridge or covered for a couple of days?
Yeah, but you're using that yogurt, so that's where that sour is coming from.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, if you enjoy it, keep doing it.
Yeah, if it works
if
for
it
you.
If it works for you, don't, hey, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
That's correct. Let's go to Joan in Woodstock. Joan, you're up.
Hi, thanks. What a great show. I'm really enjoying
Thank
it.
Thank you. We are too.
I hope to make it up your way and taste both your guys' pizza. I just wanted to clarify something about Grimaldi's in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
If you want to get the Grimaldi's, you have to go to Giuliana's, which is owned by Pat Sincara Grimaldi, who had sold their Grimaldi's to somebody else. Two places are next door. There's a pizza war going on in Brooklyn, but I wanted to clarify that.
Okay, fair enough. That's great.
Okay, and thanks for all your great tips.
Thank you very much for listening.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, and there's a place down in Katona. I don't know if you guys ever get down into northern Westchester.
No.
Called the Muscoot. And I worked down there about Mount Kisco 25 years ago or something like that. They make a thin – they may be long gone now. But it was the place – did you ever see the movie Analyze This? Where the mobsters are all coming out of that building?
Yeah.
That was the set that they – the building that they used.
Really?
And it was this great pizza joint. And they made the nicest thin crust pizza with – I'd always get fresh garlic and pepperoni on that. And then no one would talk to me for a long period of time. Very odd. Scott in Orange County. Scott, you're up.
How do you do? I enjoy this talk about the sourdough pizza and the pizza stone. My little secret is peanut oil in the crust. I find that it takes a higher temperature and it doesn't burn like olive oil. I use olive oil in the sauce, but for the dough, I use a touch of peanut oil. That's my secret.
Okay.
It's a great secret. Just in our business, the peanuts. Last thing you want to do is put peanut or any kind of nut
we
oil.
We cannot
in
use peanut oil.
Well, it came from my experience with making bread, and I found that it tastes, there's not much of, it's like a cleaner taste, and plus, I get good results in pizza dough with it.
Yeah, but the thing is, I think what they're saying, Scott, is that nowadays there are so many people with peanut allergies that you have to stay away from that.
Oh, that's scary.
Sorry, I hit the button on you, Scott. But yeah, I mean, that is really mushroomed in the last 10, 15 years.
Oh, God, yeah.
So when you started in the doing this, you didn't hear that much about it.
No.
Yeah. So what happened?
Now my kids can't have peanut butter at school.
Can't bring the sandwich in.
All right, let's try to squeeze another call or two in. Josephine and Rhinebeck. Josephine.
Good afternoon. I'm sitting here salivating, just listening to all this wonderful stuff.
You don't know the half of it.
Imagining what it tastes like. But anyway, Rocco mentioned an olive oil from California that I'm interested in.
Corto.
Did you mention, excuse me?
It's called Corto, C-O-R-T-O.
C-O-R-T-O. I haven't seen that in the market. I've seen other California ones.
Yeah, but it's out there. Corto, the Corto Passi family. That's what it's named after. But it's a nice, tall, dark bottle. Very, very good oil.
It's going to be everywhere now that Rocco.
Now that I mentioned it. That's C as in Charles, O-R, T as in Thomas, O.
Corto, correct.
All right.
Okay, thank you so much, and I'll just listen to the rest and keep salivating.
Oh, it's lovely. Josephine, thanks for the call. So the olive oil really makes a difference.
Oh, my God.
Yeah?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
what's the most important thing, the water, the olive oil?
A lot of people say it's the water.
Yeah, I hear that a lot.
I don't know. I think it's the flour. There's so many things.
Yeah.
Like we said, it's very scientific, but I think the water does matter, but also the flours that you use. And
so if I went to the pizza joint and you put one, Paul, put one down that had tap water in it and one had nice filtered or spring water, would I be able to tell the difference?
No, absolutely not.
So then
You went to Florida, now I heard that the reason they can't make good pizza in Florida is because of the water.
Yeah. Well, and then I heard there's this place that has a tanker.
Imports their water?
I swear to God, somebody told me that last month. I said, no.
It's an expensive
pie. That's what they're telling you.
Yeah.
But now, wait a minute. You just said that the conditions, the atmosphere, the heat, the humidity.
Absolutely.
So in Florida, it's humid and it rains every afternoon.
That's the effect. It's not the water. It is the water, but it's the water in the air.
Wow, this has been great. I got to tell you. Rocco, what's the address of DeFazio's?
264 4th Street, Troy, New York. We're between Adams and Washington, the first two presidents.
You got a website?
Yes, we do. DeFazio's Pizza. Yeah, just
.com. All right. And how about you, Paul?
PapaLouisPizza.com.
All right. And you're in three locations, so three locations. You'll find out
Hudson,
more at the
Great Barrington and Pittsfield.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. This was terrific. Zach the engineer, guess what? There's a slice here with your name on it. And Colleen O'Connell, who answered the phones, you got a slice too if you want one. And the girls in the front office, I think there might be enough for you too. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks for calling. We had a great time. Don't forget, on Monday, it's Medical Monday. Alan will be here at 2 o'clock with a doctor, and it'll be fun. So have a great weekend. Bye.